الرحمن الرحيم وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My respected brothers and elders in Islam, an average adult spends about one third of his entire life going out to seek his sustenance. On the average, we spend about 8 hours every morning diligently going out, whether it's by doing trade, whether we go out working, buying or selling, whatever the case may be, in different ways, we spend a substantial part of our lives earning a living. Sometimes we get disappointed, it's difficult. Sometimes we incur a loss and we feel, you know, equally despondent. And other times we may enjoy profits. The question is, what is the Islamic approach to earning money, to earning your bread? Is it something different from your religious obligation? Is it a non-religious activity? Or is it integrally related to your deen? If one third of our life is spent in earning our sustenance, surely Islam must be saying something about earning your sustenance. What is Islam's view regarding the acquisition of wealth? Or is it mutually exclusive that earning your bread, earning your sustenance is a worldly activity and praying and fasting, etc., is a religious activity? Is there this dichotomy, this separation in the deen? If religion is complete, if our deen is complete, then there could be no separation between your religious obligations and your obligation to go out and seek wealth, to earn an income, to become rich, to become wealthy. The fact that the longest verse in the Quran, the longest verse in the Quran deals with your monetary dealings, with your monetary transactions. It deals with buying and selling, how to transact, what are the conditions related to doing business. If the longest verse in the Quran centers around and focuses on your business dealings, that alone is sufficient to indicate the deeply spiritual nature of earning your living. It is not separated from your deen. Going out and making money is not anti-Islam. It is not anti-spiritual. The fact that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, "Talabul kasbi faridatun ba'dal farida." The acquisition of risk is an obligation after obligation, after obligations. In other words, your primary obligation is to read your salah, fast, fulfill the divine obligations imposed upon you by Allah, your ritual worship. But earning your risk is an obligation that flows after discharging and fulfilling your religious or your ritual obligations. What this hadith says is very, very important. There is no dichotomy, there is no separation between going out daily and earning your bread and your religious values, your religious beliefs, your religious identity. These are infused together. You cannot hope to be a good Muslim if your business dealings are incorrect. And you cannot hope to acquire halal rizq if your dealings are not halal. So there's an infusion, there's between earning your rizq and your religious identity. Therefore the Quran says, wealth itself is not bad. When Allah talks about wealth, Allah says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That this wealth, Allah has made it a means of your support. It is an Allah-given ni'mah, an Allah-given blessing that He has conferred on humanity. So we cannot ever separate religion from earning wealth. We cannot separate religion from wealth. They are interrelated. And to such an extent that in Surah Muzammil, in the verse that I read before you, Allah has equated the mujahid with one who goes out to seek his wealth. Allah says, وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. They are those that go out in the lands to seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ. And there are others who go out and fight in the path of Allah. Why is a mujahid equated with one who goes out to seek his sustenance? Both are in struggle. Both are striving. Both are fulfilling a divine obligation. And therefore, there could be no higher pedestal than a mujahid who goes out to fight in the path of Allah. Yet Allah has side by side in one verse mentioned the virtue of a person, a businessman, or one who goes out seeking his bread with one who goes out fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once there were a group of sahaba seated around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was during the early part of the day, and they saw this young man, well-built individual, rushing to his business. So the sahaba sitting around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam commented, and they said, if only this person could use his vitality, his youth, in the path of Allah, instead of going and running after his business. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam cautioned them. And his words are vital. His words are profound, they're prolific, something we should be remembering. He told that group of sahaba who commented on this person going out to seek his sustenance. He said, do not say this. If this young man runs, in other words, to his business, with the object of not depending on others, and with the object of refraining from begging, then he is in the path of Allah. If he conducts trade with the view of providing for his weak parents and for his children, he is in the path of Allah. Yet, if he tries to show his wealth out of pride, then he is in the path of shaitan. In other words, if every morning when we get up and when we go out to work or go out to our businesses And if our niya is correct, our intention is correct, that, oh Allah, I'm going out to seek your sustenance with the view that I do not beg, with the view that I can provide for my ailing parents, with the view that I can provide for my young children, you are in the path of Allah for the entire duration of that day. So the difference in Islam between purely a material acquisition of wealth and a spiritual acquisition of wealth is your niyyah. If your niyyah is correct, if the niyyah is to show off and flaunt your wealth, then you are in the path of shaitan. If the niyyah is to acquire wealth and to spend it on those that are dependent on you and to protect yourself from begging, then you are in the path of Allah, even though you are standing in your business or even though you are working in the company. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that kad al faqru yufdi ila al kufr, that poverty has the potential of driving people to disbelief. Poverty is the potential of driving people to disbelief. In other words, you are obliged to protect yourself from any act that can potentially lead you to disbelief. And earning a risk, wealth is one such medium that will protect you from disbelief. So wealth in itself is neutral. And he said that the wise keep their money in their pockets. Fools keep their money in their hearts. In other words, if that wealth and influences and changes your conduct, your values, how you treat people, if it engenders arrogance, that is not true wealth. That is foolishness. In the same vein, it is narrated that by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Adam alayhi salam, despite being a Nabi, he was a farmer. He was tilled the land and plant the seeds. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was a carpenter. Idris alayhi salam was a tailor. Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam were also farmers. Saleh alayhi salam was a trader. Dawood alayhi salam was a manufacturer of arms. Musa, Shaib and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam were shepherds. In other words, the earning of risk is not contrary to the office of Nubuwah. Even a Nabi found it necessary to go and earn his bread and acquire wealth. Therefore, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was claimed Nubuwah, the kuffar in Makkah objected. What was the objection? They said, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامِ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He says, what kind of prophet is this who eats food and walks in the marketplaces transacting and dealing? This is not our idea of a messenger of Allah. And Allah responds by praising the Nabi that he is one who consumes like every other human being and who earns like every other human being. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, you know the famous Luqman the wise, once he addressed his son. And his words are very significant. He said, dear son, seek strength from lawful earnings, for whenever anyone becomes poor, they are afflicted in three ways. He says there's weakness in his religion. Poverty can make you lose your commitment in your own faith. He says there's weakness in your intelligence. You give up. And there's a decline in your reputation or respect. So Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam is advising his son, that do not underestimate the value of wealth. It will help you in more ways than you can ever imagine. And therefore, they were extremely wealthy Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never did anyone look down or regard the acquisition of wealth as something very different from the idea of religion. You have one of the most famous Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, just prior to his demise, he gave in charity 40,000 horses. 40,000 horses just before his demise he gave out in charity. He sold an orchard that fetched the price of 400,000 gold coins. And when he received that 400,000 gold coins, we cannot possibly imagine, put a value to 400,000 gold coins. And he sold that orchard. He took that 400,000 gold coins and he said, this is now dedicated to the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he dedicated it, he gave it as charity, bequeathed it for the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What must his wealth be for him to give off 400,000 gold coins as charity? Where before he passed away, or at the point of his death, he made a wasiya that each of his four wives should be given 80,000 gold coins. That was his wealth. That was the nature of this man, who was Asharatul Mubashara, who was one of the 10 given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. But despite the wealth that he owned. So what then is the Islamic position with regards to wealth? Do we frown upon wealth? Certainly not. Otherwise, Allah would not have mentioned wealth and jihad in the same verse. Qarun, during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, had enormous wealth. And he was advised as follows. He was given four advices. And these are four advices that regulate, determine our approach to wealth or being wealthy. Allah said first, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, that seek through the bounty that Allah has given you, this wealth that Allah has given you, seek the year after. In other words, this wealth is so valuable. This wealth can determine your akhirah between hell and heaven. If wealth was intrinsically bad, how could you imagine, how would you anticipate wealth to determine your year after? And Allah is saying, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Look at this wealth that you own, that you possess, and view it as a medium and an opportunity for you to build your year after. That's the first piece of advice. Then Allah instructs him, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget your own share in this world. If Allah has given you wealth, use it on yourself. Use it on your children. Use it on your family. Do not live a life of deliberate poverty when Allah has given you wealth. Second piece of advice, look after yourself. Use the ni'mat of Allah. This is a blessing from Allah. Thirdly, Allah said, wa ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Look at this wealth and tell yourself, I need to do good as Allah has done good to me. Use your wealth as be kind, be compassionate, share your wealth, empower people through your wealth. That's the third advice that Qarun was given in this verse. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, there was a person who would lend out money and people would fail to repay. And he would advise his employees that either forgive them or relent. Give them time to pay because Allah will forgive us, or Allah will relent when he is to take us into account. So our approach to wealth, firstly Allah says that use your wealth as a means of building your hereafter. So it intrinsically has the potential of changing your life forever. Two, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ. Do not forget your own share. Use it on you and your children and your family without being extravagant or without being arrogant. Thirdly, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Do good to others as Allah has treated you with such goodness. Be generous and realize that it is in giving that you will receive. It is in giving that you will receive. And last, the fourth advice given was, وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That do not use your wealth to create mischief, corruption on the surface of this earth. Wealth, naturally, one of the trappings of wealth is arrogance. One of the trappings of wealth is power. One of the trappings of wealth is corruption. And in here, Allah admonishes Qarun that do not fall prey to the trappings of wealth. Do not be extravagant. In another verse, Allah talks about a prelude to the destruction of a community and says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. That when we want to destroy a locality, when we want to destroy a group of people, what do we do first? أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. We instruct, the wealthy in this community become extravagant. They set the trend in extravagance, in haughtiness, in arrogance. And people then follow these trendsetters. And that becomes one cause for the destruction of a people. It all begins with the extravagance, the arrogance, and the corruption associated with wealth. So Allah says in this verse, وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادِ. Do not use this wealth to corrupt people, to bribe people, to exert your undue influence. Do not show your arrogance. Do not let wealth mirror your arrogant attitude or your extravagant lifestyle. So in these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very, very clear that money, wealth, is an important medium through which you could make your akhirat. It is not evil in nature. It is absolutely neutral. It is you that will determine whether that wealth will be the cause of your downfall or the cause of your elevation. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.